Thank you, Father, for those words. Me with a prophecy, too, that's going to, is really in line with the teaching tonight. About finding a target, so like targets and aiming. If you've never went shooting, or if you've gone shooting, if you don't aim, which believe it or not, you do it every once in a while. I had a buddy, he had an AK-47. And he goes, if you hold down, it's not an automatic. Because if you hold it back, it will actually be like an automatic. I never shot anything as automatic. And I got done shooting. I was like, whoa, I wasn't ever ready for it. Guess what I hit?
Nothing.
Yeah, I wasn't aiming. Aiming, it requires effort. So even in our lives, Yahweh, you're going to have to work at this. And his mom's prophecy, too, about the fruit and things. It's not just planting things, but we should prune. We should trim. I got a plant upstairs that, if you could call SRS for people on plants, it'd be upstairs hiding in a closet because I've never taken it out of the one little pot. Yahweh has dreams and things in our lives that he has confirmed and it's something we're doing, but what are you doing with it? And work with it. But with aiming, what's a neat thing with aiming and targets is I'm still not. Izzy's a good hunter, and we'll be looking at some things. I remember him saying, if you never looked through a scope, well, maybe you have looked through a scope, but maybe you've never looked at something 400 yards away, running and moving. There's a big difference when something's moving than looking at a bullseye. He goes, aim 3 feet above its back. If you've never done that, and you try to look, what is 3 feet? The deer is this big. What's 3 feet? And then he had to explain some other things. Where we were shooting before we went elk hunting. He went, look, okay, how wide are my shoulders? What, 2 feet maybe? A little bit bigger? The torso of an elk is 3 feet. He goes, you got that, Aaron? He goes, if the bull is dropping 18 inches, or you say 3 feet, I forget exactly how it was. He goes, what you want to do is you want to aim that same distance above its back, because then it's going to drop and it's going to hit it in the ribcage. He gave me a reference point. So where I was aiming was not exactly, I didn't want to hit where I was aiming, but I had to aim at something in order to hit what I wanted. If you don't aim, should you expect to hit stuff? Now you will get lucky every once in a while. Now there are exceptions to the rules, but if you're not aiming at stuff, what are you going to hit? And this is, I still have to write a letter to Switchfoot because I used to hear this song when my life wasn't where it needed to be. This is your life. Are you who you want to be? This is your life. Is it everything you dreamed it would be? And there's this whole story about reevaluating your life. I remember hearing it gone. But it gave me a second chance. And so we don't know how much time we have left. Not that we should be living in fear, but start practicing aiming. Aiming as far as targeting, that's making a list. That's how you hit targets. And any successful business, a really successful business, they're going to have meetings. What targets do we hit? Which ones do we not hit? How are we going to reduce spending and increase revenue? How are we going to do these things? And I think that if marriages, I'm not one to speak, I think if marriages and people would think about that once a year, going on a retreat, going to go, it doesn't mean you're going to hit those targets, but you're doing something. I think Yahweh would really reward people, especially in marriages. I remember going, the guy said, being married is going to be the hardest thing you ever do in your life, reading these marriage books. I think people would go into it with that idea. I think you're going to go, we better have a game plan. But anyways, sometimes in our life, we'll go ahead and turn to Hebrews 11, page 231. Now, wouldn't it be just so nice if Yahweh says, X marks the spot. Go right there and do this. And sometimes that's what I'm expecting. Sometimes that might be what you're expecting too. And you know what? There's exceptions to the rules. And so I'm not going to, even if I'm loose with my lips and I say something in absolute, I don't mean an absolute. So Yahweh works with every one of us differently. Your callings, your dreams, and everything else. And all of us know what we're supposed to be doing. We have a good idea, whether we do it or not. I've had people advise me, don't do this. But I knew I was supposed to do it no matter what. And I know what I'm supposed to do. Going to Africa was one of them. It's like I was running away from Yahweh like Jonah. I can't go to Africa, send Izzy. I can't even eat my sister's cooking. How am I going to go to Africa and eat this weird stuff? And I couldn't get away from it. I knew what I was supposed to do. Hebrews 11 verse 6. on targets and directions. So it's really going to be, I guess, target, directions. You're going to get directions. Now you need to find a target when those directions. Would somebody please read Hebrews 11:6?
But apart from faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing. For he that approacheth unto Yahweh must needs have faith that he is, and that to them who seek him out, a rewarder he becometh.
I've been very fortunate, as I've been mentored by my mom and my dad through Tim and Donna, from my older siblings, to get to mentor a lot of people. They call me up and they vent. And this one person has been courting a woman for a long time. He goes, but there's a lot of issues. And what was neat is I sat there and went, look, you need to go get peaceful and get confirmation if it's even a candidate. Is it Yahweh's candidate? And if you haven't got confirmation with that, don't even try to see if things are compatible. You got to go get peaceful. Because if you go change your mind, you go get peaceful, and then he confirms it as a candidate, then you go that way, because without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing. It's not going to be 100% compatible, because it wouldn't require faith. What about this issue? I think of my dad marrying my mom. Dad's 19 years old. How many kids you have?
Four
kids. That's not compatible. Like, that doesn't make sense. It didn't. And if somebody would have came back and go, this isn't compatible, this is not a good idea, you shouldn't do this, but then in the end, all of us will be going before Jesus Christ, and he's going to say, why didn't you do this? Well, all my advisors, what did I tell you? All of us know. He knows how to talk to us. And that was one of the reasons why I didn't ever want to get really quiet as a teenager, because he was going to make me do something I didn't want to do. I knew it. And I still, but no, wait a minute. That's looking at just the obstacle I have to go over. The rewards are bigger than any of the obstacles. They're well worth it. But we're going to look at Abraham, the father of our faith, right under verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to be well pleasing. Would somebody please read 8 and 9? 8 through 10, please.
By faith being called, Abraham obeyed to come forth unto a place he was destined to receive for an inheritance. And he came forth, not well knowing whether he was coming. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, a foreign land, in tents dwelling, along with Isaac and Jacob, the joint heirs of the same promise. For he was awaiting the city, having foundations, whose architect and builder is Yahweh.
Okay. He's the father. He's a benchmark. Other than Mashiach, Yehoshua, Christ Jesus, Apostle Paul, Moses, Abraham, David. I like to think of Hebrews. This is Yahweh's Mount Rushmore. These are his heroes, our reference points. Did Abraham ever find the city?
No.
Did he?
No.
Was he successful?
Yes.
Yes. Yahweh told him to go. He was looking for something. Yahweh's going to give you directions to go someplace. It's up to you to find a reason to go that way. And so this was important about finding a target. Abraham knew he was supposed to leave his home. He's supposed to go this way. He's wandering. He doesn't know where he's supposed to be going. But in his mind and his heart, what is he looking for? I want to go where Yahweh's living. I want his city, his walls. Did he ever find it? No. Was he successful? Absolutely. But it was up to him to be looking for it. Yahweh's called you to go a certain direction. For what? That's your job. Find something. To get a reason. To get a reference point. To go, all I know is I'm supposed to go that way. Well, why do you tell you to go that way? I don't know. I don't even want to think about it. Think about it. Entertain it a little bit. And then through your faith, you can go, hey, Suzanne lives over there. Maybe it's Suzanne. Austin lives over there. Maybe it's Austin. Now the point of finding the target is not, the target is not the objective. Because Abraham would have had a very disappointed life. What a failure. Never found that city. No, that's not the point. The point of the target is to get you moving in the direction. Then Yahweh's going to, he'll fill in the rest. And whatever the target is, find something that's worth pursuing. Use your imagination instead of haunting you about how much you're going to be leaving behind, like Lot's wife. Use your imagination for treasures What is it? What would get you moving that direction? Find a treasure. Find a reward with your heart and dream as big as you can. Well, what about disappointment? The objective is not to get that target. The objective is to get you moving in that direction, knowing that Yahweh is a rewarder later on to those who diligently seek Him. He knows what your treasure is, and whatever He rewards you with is better than any treasure. Can you imagine it? Probably can't. But what can you do? Imagine the absolute best case scenario there is, going, that's not the objective, but that will get me moving in the right direction, right? Mm-hmm. So you can imagine somebody turning a car steering wheel when you're trying to push a broken down station wagon. Don't worry about turning it till we get this thing moving. Get things moving like Abraham did. In the movie Harriet with Harriet Tubman, she gets delivered, and she's a prophetess, or she's an apostle. There's mighty works. Now, maybe she's not necessarily those things, but when you got somebody that does the works that she does, especially when I mention some of these numbers, I'm going to go, it's a lot higher than any pastor or evangelist I know of. But what started was, originally, why she left freedom, or she left slavery, is because she wanted to have free children. What did she want? Free children. Her father was free. Her husband was free. Her husband wanted to have free children, not slaves. That's what got the ball moving. Is that an important desire?
Yeah.
You know how many children she had?
None.
Zero. Who do you think started that desire? Okay. Anything with it. She gets delivered because she's going to get sold down the river because she wanted free children. She's not going to get it. And you know what's going to happen because they asked? She's going to get sold down to the river.
South.
Down south. It's going to be horrible, horrible. You think it's bad? We watch Harriet, the South is supposed to be twice as bad. Anyway, she runs for her life. The first thing she does is she goes to her father, who's a free man. And when her father does, goes to the pastor. She goes, I'm like, I can't go to the pastor. All the pastor's talking about obeying the slave master. Even at the beginning of the movie, the pastor is saying, slaves, obey your masters as unto the Lord. And not just in your eye services, but when he's not watching. And even the slaves go, not that pastor. He's not the way out. Do you know what she did not know? That pastor was the beginning of the Underground Railroad. It was a cover. Even the slaves didn't know this guy was a doorway to the Underground Railroad. But where did it start? It started with Harriet. She had to go to her father, and her father knew which way to go. And the pastor looks at her, and he goes, and he prays for her, and he goes, fear is an enemy. You have to talk to Yahweh, and here's how you're going to do it. And there was real important that Dad pointed out during the movie, the part of the Underground Railroad that the movie doesn't explain is the only way it worked is that pastor had to, lack of better explanation, radio ahead to tell the next person who's coming, what they look like. Why? Because it'd be easy to infiltrate to find who's an Underground Railroad to kill them. Just get some free guys who are paying 100, you know, act like slaves, and then they'll bring you in. The Underground Railroad, I didn't know this until Dad pointed this out, they didn't just take anybody in. Somebody had a radio ahead, a person's coming. So in Harriet Tubman's, a 5'5" single woman's coming your direction. She gets delivered. She gets into freedom. It's a miracle. But that's really just the beginning of the movie, because at the beginning of the movie, here she is, she's free, she's dressed, she's wearing nice clothes, and she's crying, because she's gotta go back home. There's a call to go back home. Now how confusing would that be? And what's she do? She's got to go get her husband. Let me see here. When Harriet, she even goes to the people, I'm going back whether you're with me or not. Then she goes to the lady that's helping her, said, I need you to make a clothes for me and for my husband so they don't know we're slaves. When she goes back down and she goes back into slave territory, she finds her husband. And finds out that this is a spoiler, is that alright?
That's fine, yeah.
He was told that she drowned, so he remarried a free woman, and the free woman was pregnant with the baby. That's what Harriet originally wanted. And there comes, and I have the, and I was going to play the excerpts from the movie, because here she is, she goes out and she falls down, and she starts weeping, Yahweh, why did you do this to me? to come all the way back here to rub my face in the dirt in this? And and she's not being blasphemous, but she's lost. As she falls down and goes into a spell, her father shows up. And her father takes her, because he says, your brothers are hiding. There are 7 slaves that needed an immediate escape right then and there. Here she is. She came back to get her husband. Now she's got to deliver an old lady, a woman with an infant, 7 people. She didn't sign up for that. She gets out of it. And the next scene in the movie, about an hour and 14 minutes in it, she's getting a bath by this lady going, how did you do this? How did you do this? And anyway, she goes, how do you hear from God? Because you can't do what you just did unless you can hear from Yahweh. And she starts explaining, she goes, the way some people read a book, that's how I listen to Yahweh. I go back, and before I can think whether it was him or not, I start evaluating, I start reading him like a book. And she said, her husband's name was John. She goes, John was just a way to steer me where I needed to go. It was for these 7 people, and half of them were family members. She made it. And with Harriet Tubman, the direction was go back. And in her mind, it's got to be to get her husband. She didn't get her husband, but she got 7 back. And the peace she would have had afterwards, because all of us have been there where we've been obedient. I can imagine the peace that she got would have been, not only is the itch gone, satisfied, but the peace would have been, you just saved 7, including an infant that would have grown in slavery. Wow. Acts chapter 8, page 128. And all of us have had these testimonies. Go this direction. Go do these things. Here's our Father talking to us in peace, not through fear, not through panic, not through sudden dread. But it was like Donald's prophecy too, peace. As Don was given a prophecy, I could envision what kind of fruit we're producing. When we walk into a room of people, are we spreading terror, stress, anxiety? It's easy to do so, right? You ever had somebody come in with a bad mood and a chip on the shoulder? Get out of here! Or are we coming and bringing the peace of Yahweh that passes, rides above every mind and heart? We can. And we can bring that peace. And when we walk in that peace, then Yahweh will confirm things. Just go this direction. And even with Harriet, after she saved those 7 people, that's better than her husband. Because the future that Yahweh's going to do for her is better than anything she could ever imagine. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Philip, and I would love to get a map, because Yahweh gave us some locations here on a map to find out where Philip started. Have an idea where he was before he gets teleported to Azotus in verse 40. Where's Azotus? I don't know. But all we know is he baptized that guy. He goes, boom, he's up like the prophet Elijah. But it'd be neat to have a map to go. He was right around here. And then all of a sudden, it was 60 miles, 20 miles. I digress. 26, and the messenger of Yahweh spake unto Philip, saying, I bet you he was praying. This was Cornelius. This is Peter. Arise, be journeying along southward unto the way goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, the same as the desert. Go to the desert. What am I going to be doing here? Does Philip know? Well, we all know what's going to happen. I believe that Philip would have had a target. Why am I going this direction? Why would he have me go this way? I bet you he would have went, oh, I bet you so-and-so or so-and-so or something like that. But anyways, it got him moving. The neat thing about Philip's situation is in verse 29, you guys ever see somebody you know you're supposed to witness to? Mm-hmm. Kind of late, and all of a sudden they're walking off. Whoop, too late now, all right? Well, in Philip's situation, verse 29, and the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself into the chariot, and running near. Philip's running next to a chariot. Okay. And his knee, because he goes, do you understand what you're reading? The guy's reading Isaiah. Philip doesn't know what's going on. But he's going the right direction. And then the eunuch doesn't stop. He goes, too busy. We got to be in Denver by whatever. And he goes, get in the chariot. So then they're both, they still didn't stop, still moving. Isn't that neat? And the only time that this encounter stops is when the guy wants, that's it! I want to get baptized. But anyways, I bet you Philip had some sort of target. James chapter 1, page 234. You're going to get a direction. And you want to do, how many people would like to be teleported like Philip?
Yeah.
I only know one other story like that that was outside the Word, and that was The New Wine is Better Than the Old, a book that David Ramey gave me about a South African who got, as like a teleported from Cape Town to JFK Airport. It's a really neat testimony. And when David told me that, when he gave me the book, I went, until you start reading the book about this, and it's neat because Yahweh through Christ was confirming all these other different things. And it's the only time I've ever gotten to read somebody's ministry that was like my weird ministry. I don't know anybody else that's leading people into speaking in tongues in Walmart or prophesying while I'm walking down the street or giving a prophecy that we're boarding airplanes or leading somebody into speaking in tongues before the airplane. And it wasn't until David gave me this book, I'm like, wow, there was somebody just like, well, he's a lot more powerful than me right now. But this guy got teleported. When I first heard about it, I kind of, whatever. But then I read this book and I went, wow. And I was like, okay. But if you'd like to have something like that, you got to get started with the small ones first. If he tells you to go back to the kitchen again, go back to the kitchen again. And then show them, okay? And if you don't want to go, if it's a bigger one, find a good reason, a good treasure that would you could justify going. It could be spending money. I can't justify spending money like that. My dad's very good with money. But if you could stop and go, I couldn't do that. And then you could go, well, if that is Yahweh, how could I justify it? Well, wait a minute. Let's think about some of this stuff here. Let's think about some of these mighty works. And then you start that. And it doesn't mean you do it. But you get the direction gone. Now we need to get confirmation on this. We can still cancel our reservations. James chapter 1, verse 5 through 6. Would somebody read that?
But if any one of you is coming short of wisdom, let him be asking of Yahweh, who giveth unto all freely and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him.
Yes. That's good right there. There's another translation that will say, if any of you is coming short of wisdom, they'll say, if any of you are sinning short of wisdom, which is confusing the first time I read that. Actually, in the Rotherham emphasized electronic version, it says sinning short of wisdom. Does that make sense? If you don't know the Greek word, it doesn't make sense. What's sinning mean?
Missing the mark.
Missing the mark. Mm-hmm. Okay. Which is real important because we can go in our lives, you could be throwing darts blind or you could be aiming, aim small, miss small. How tight is your grouping? You know what that means with shooting? Mm-hmm. And if you're not focusing and hammering in, then you're not going to have good grouping. I think sometimes our life is just random things. Instead of hitting the dartboard, the whole wall's tore up. And we're mad at Yahweh. Look at the wall! What are you aiming at, man? Yahweh will give you wisdom. If you ask for it, give me more wisdom here. And especially if any of you are sinning short of wisdom, focus, aim small, miss small. Harriet Tubman, because she went to the back to go get her husband, which is her target, ended up delivering 70 slaves. 70 is a perfect number. Can you imagine the feeling she would have had? A neat part of the movie also is when she's up in Canada after they do this, the Fugitive Slave Act, where now the slave hunters can come retrieve the property wherever it is. They call the humans. Before that, you could be in Philadelphia. They can't come get you. It's like, you don't have any jurisdiction. Now they're in Canada and they're going, the distance is too great. Harriet, it was 100 miles when you did it. Now we're talking about 600 miles. And she looks around and she goes, you guys have gotten too comfortable with your lives. Some of you have never been slaves. I've been a slave. I've been beaten. I've been through these things. And for me to give up because it's too far, I know what those little girls and those kids are going through. I'm not giving up, but you guys have gotten too comfortable. And I think about how many times in my own life I've gotten too comfortable. Mm-hmm. I really don't need any more help. I'm pretty comfortable with my income or whatever it is. And to go, it's not about our comfort level. It's about who needs us and how much time do we have left.
Amen.
We don't know. And Harriet, 70 slaves. She went from a 5-foot girl about ready to be sold down the river, and then later on delivering 70 slaves. In my own life, when I was at K-State, I've given this testimony several times. Where was not needed, wasn't where I was supposed to be, surrounded by lasciviousness, the lust of the flesh, all my roommates, everything. And I'm sitting there, Dad was still sending lifelines, said, hey, if I sent you teaching tapes, would you listen to them? What am I going to tell them? No, they're paying my rent.
Right.
This is a trick. If I tell them no, I'm not going to listen to it, I'm going to get my rent. That's not what happened, but it's funny. But it was probably some part of it. Yeah, you want to keep a relationship with a godly parent, you better be at least doing that. And I listened to the tapes, and I went some of these tapes, and I sat there, and all of a sudden the guilt started coming back in after the peace. What am I going to do? What are you going to do? You're so far behind. And here it was. Go home. What's that mean? Oh, all I knew is I was supposed to go home. That felt so good. Wait a minute, I can't go home. I can't. I got a lease. I got this. I got this. I got this. And all of a sudden the fear and all the reasons why I couldn't go home. And all of a sudden, Yahweh gave me a glimpse of what it's like to have His fellowship, this peace. Oh, it's so wonderful. He was being embraced. In the middle of a storm, being held, it was like Peter probably having his hand grabbed, or by Jesus Christ. You know, I can imagine the emotions he had when he was walking on water. And then, as soon as I started reasoning again, the peace is completely gone, and I was reminded what life is like without Yahweh and Christ. And I don't want to go back to that life. How am I going to do this? I had all these lists and stuff. My roommates will hate me. All my friends are here. I don't have any friends back home. Friends back home in Wichita, they're all married. I got nothing back home. Well, what am I going to go to? But I got quiet. What do? I got peace. I said, please speak to me again. Please. You know what he told me? Go home. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I was going to go. I'm going home. But it was up to me. I learned this through trial and error. That I was like, how am I going to go home? I don't have any friends. What kind of life am I going to have? Because I had a lot of friends. It was the wrong type of friends. Because I was very popular. For not good reasons. So Yahweh went. So as I was going that direction, I first had to make a commitment. I got my reservation, non-refundable tickets in my mind. How am I going to do this? How am I going to stay away from wickedness and stuff? I was like, I can't be here on the weekends. I'm going to go home. I'm not having any part of it. So how am I going to afford gas? I don't know. Yahweh's going to take care of it. I'm not going to be here during this. I got to go home. I started running, but I still didn't know what I was going to do. Then after I got the boat moving, Yahweh was able to start steering it. He said, what did you do before you had friends? I'd go catching snakes with my dad. We'd go fishing. We'd go out in the fields and go wandering around and flipping boards and looking for things or looking at birds, or I'd help them do taxidermy, some stuff like that. And I went, that's it. I got a friend. I'm going to go hang with my dad. And I'd go running. And I'd be running, and I'd start thinking about, I'm leaving. Ah, forget these people. They don't care about me. I'm going to go hang on my dad. But that was my target. And it got me home. What I did not know, 9 months later, after that deliverance of me getting out of Sodom and Gomorrah, that I was going to get baptized, immersed, like a spiritual immersing by Greg Phelps. That was the prophecy. That a guy's going to give me a personal prophecy that's going to turn my whole world upside down. And he says, you're going to be teaching teachers. You're going to be traveling the world and be doing these things. I had no idea what the heck he was talking about, but I had no idea. And that prophecy day has changed my life ever since. Mm-hmm. But it all started with just going home. I had a direction, find a target, find something. And it was neat. After I started thinking about hanging out with my dad, like, my dad's never... I never had to worry about my dad stealing a girlfriend or stealing my food. Here's all my friends I live with. I come home, they not only did they eat the food, mom would send up big casseroles. Not only would they steal it, they'd eat half of it and throw the rest in the sink and fill it full of water. These guys aren't my friends. But I was like, forget these guys. But it just fueled me. 2 Kings chapter 7, page 388. And they're going back to that peace. And if you don't have peace, have a formula to get that peace. You speak in tongues. He that speaks in tongues makes himself stronger. Separate yourself. If you want to get peace from your situation, stop thinking about it. Think about somebody that needs help. Stop thinking about yourself. Start praying for somebody. Go on a walk and dedicate music or something to somebody else. Get your mind on somebody else, and Yahweh will start telling you who really needs help. Yeah. And then, and I remember Mom and Dad teach me that too. Go to bed. And the first thing when you get up in the morning, here I am. Do I go left or right? And that's even before my brain's even working. And you know what? Yahweh's really faithful. Don't go. Okay, I don't even know. Where was I going? I don't remember, but I'm not supposed to go. And then later on, my brain wakes up, don't go. You already answered it.
Yeah.
Quiet yourself. Get peace. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 4 through 8. If somebody would...
Why don't you read it now?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so start with verse 3. There's a famine in Samaria. They're dying. They're starving to death. And there's some lepers that are outside the gate. They can't come in because they're unclean. And Nathan was reading about one of the commentaries last night. He said, unclean means polluted. So that's a good way to communicate to us. But go ahead. Verse 3.
Now there were four men, lepers, at the entrance of the gate, and they said one to another, why are we sitting here until we are dead? If we say, let us enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we remain here, we shall die. Now therefore, let us fall away into the camp of the Syrians, and save us alive, we shall live. And if they put us to death, we shall die. So they rose up in twilight to enter into the camp of the Syrians. And when they entered the outskirts of the camp of the Syrians, lo, there was not there a man. Now the Lord had caused the camp of the Syrians to hear noise of chariots and noise of horse, a noise of great host, and they said unto one another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come against us. So they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses in the camp just as it was, and fled for their lives. When therefore these lepers came in as far as the outskirts of the camp, they entered into the tent and did eat and drink and carried from thence silver and gold and raiment, and went away and hid them, and came again and entered into the tent and carried from thence and went and hid them.
We'll stop right there. They won the lottery.
Yeah.
Not only did they win the lottery, they got all their treasures, and they're going and hiding it. But it all started with a desire. I believe that Yahweh's the one that put the desire, because Yahweh's the one that spooked them. And the noise of a great host is a great army. Yahweh scared the heck out of these guys to get them out of there. But it was started with four lepers. We're going to sit here and die. What are we going to do? I believe Yahweh put a desire to go to the Syrians. You got to be kidding me. The Syrians, they cut your nose off, hang you on trees and stuff. Well, all right, let's just talk about this. And I believe that they got a target. What have we got to lose? What's the worst case scenario?
Hmm.
And what was their target? We'll get fed. Maybe.
Not be out.
Did they get what they wanted?
Yet.
What they aimed for? They got something a lot better.
Yeah.
And so what another good example for us too, that he just gives you desire. No, just tell me where we're going to go. Give me the whole itinerary. That didn't require faith. He's going to say you're supposed to be going here. And then you'd be like them to go, okay, let's just think about this. Use your imagination to go, if this is Yahweh, because there's a chance it's not Yahweh. Right? But if it is Him, if it doesn't go away after a day or two, you're going to go, this doesn't make sense at all. I don't know how I'm going to justify this. How am I going to get going? How am I going to do this? And if you're still not moving, start using that imagination to justify what would get you moved. Not just to justify. What kind of situation would get you out of your house running down a street to catch an airplane? Somebody said, your wife is waiting for you right now in Denver International Airport. Be like, gotta go, you guys. I'll call you in a little bit. If you came back, but that's not how it works. He says, go. And then as we get gone, we gotta go, well, what would make this worth it? Well, then you start imagining, maybe my wife's there, this and that. And then you guard your heart. You gotta go, You don't go, well, if I don't get this, what a failure. I'm hearing people saying that. I've been trying to encourage them with their spouse. It's going to go, you need to use your imagination of how great it could be. Are you kidding me? Well, if I don't get it, I've tried that once. I didn't get what I wanted. And I'm not talking about psychological stuff. I'm talking about the creator of the universe, and you use your imagination to imagine something to get you moving, knowing that whatever Yahweh has, it's even better. Because they are going to go in certain directions, and my parents were great at this. A door would close, and they go, it just means Yahweh's got something better. But wow, you know how empowering that is? Oh, you just got fired. Yahweh's got something better. But you get those things going to get the directions going, whether it's this or whether it's that, or maybe it's a, I could imagine maybe this is how Ryan's going to meet his wife. Maybe this is how Holly and Jason are going to get pregnant. Maybe this is going to be how Melania gets her clean bill of health. Imagine something that would get you jacked up. If that was on the line, would that perk you up a little bit? Well, actually, yeah, it would. And then you go, okay, that might not be it, but man, that gets things moving. And you know what that does to Yahweh? He's a rewarder to those who diligently seek Him. We're back on. Wait, and sometimes I've been that way, waiting for an urge to go away. He'll find somebody else. But in this life, look at the four lepers, and Yahweh recorded that for us. Philippians 2:13. This is, yeah, what turn it to? Page 2 or 3. But you got to have the peace, Colossians 3:15. Is a God of peace, not a confusion. And if you don't have peace, then there's a good chance you can't hear Him. And so if somebody's panicking, it's easy for me to say I'm in a peaceful space right now. But when everything's going wrong, what's God trying to tell me? Man, He can't get through. All your lines are busy. Your phone's turned off. You got to go get your peace. Turn your phone back on. I remember a guy at our old house. There's no reception in the basement. Mm. If you need to talk to somebody, you don't go in the basement. And I think of our lives, if you don't have peace, it's like a guy going, I need to know if I'm going to get... If a guy was wondering if we were in a plane crash or something, the last place he'd go is someplace he didn't have reception. Get your peace. And he'll tell you how to do it. To separate yourself. Philippians 2:13, somebody read that.
For it is Yahweh who energizeth within you, both the desiring and the energizing, in behalf of His good pleasure.
Who's energizing the desiring? Mm-hmm. The desires of your heart. My dad's been great with that. But what are the desires of your heart? What's he calling? I don't know. What is it? Is it music? Is it writing? Is it drawing? Well, how am I going to incorporate my gifts into His kingdom to glorify Him? And then we get things moving. But He's already put some desires in. Right now, every single one of us, I guarantee you, he's confirming a direction He's calling us to go. Okay. Please. He wants to communicate that to us more than we want to receive it. And we go, okay, speak for your servant who's listening. And then we got to find a reason to go. And let's see here. In grades, if you're going to be studying, if you want to get a B, what do you study for?
An A.
That's what I learned from my dad, A. If you study for a B, you get C's. Yeah. Now, there's exceptions. I'm an average student. If you want an A, what do you study for?
A plus.
No, I can't. Oh. No, I'm trying to explain it to Kate, and my dad, he goes, you're not going to get A's studying for A's. You want A's, you study for A pluses. You study for 100%. That's how you get straight A's. Now, I'm not talking about the gifted people. If you want B's, study for an A. Mm-hmm. And you're going to go, how's that work? And you say, okay. If you don't study at all, which was my problem, because it bored me, what are you going to get?
Average.
And what's that?
C.
And if you don't study, then you're probably going to be a CD student. And I had a lot of problems with that. I had no reference. I didn't aim it. I wasn't aiming at anything. What are you aiming at? Are you aiming at it 100%? I don't even know what 100% is. All I know is I'm supposed to go this direction. Start finding a target. When I'd be hunting with Israel, he'd be teaching me about aiming and stuff. He's very good. And he goes, you have to aim 3 feet above the spine of this bull elk at 500 yards or 6 feet, if you break it down all this mathematics. How am I going to do that? Find some way, a reference point, to get you 6 feet above it. If the torso's 3, do 2 torsos, and the first time you do it's kind of hard, but if you want to get that trophy, and trust me, it is a lot of work. I got to squeeze, I got to scare 1 big bull elk. I was glad I got to scare him. But as but the thing is, find a way to get you on target. Start using your imagination. See these things before it happens. Izzy's great with that, with the hunting. Where are you going to be shooting? I don't know. You're not going to get it. What a waste of time or resources. And don't you be disappointing. And I did this with Esther once when we were going to go hunting. I went, what are you confessing? A buck. How are you? Okay, why are you confessing it? Mark 11:23 says this. That's the 2 Corinthians 4:13. If you believe it, you'll say it. Do you believe it? She goes, yes, I do. And I go, how do you get faith? Faith comes by hearing. She goes, okay. And I go, can you see it? Can you see it? I go, okay, good. Now here's the important part about this hunt. And she went, well, I go, are you going to pout if you don't get what you want? And she goes, because if we miss it, it's not Yahweh's fault, but we have a tendency to pout and then blame him and go, see, this is why I don't get my feelings all built up. Look what you did to me. I should just, you know, never try, never fail. I heard that once. And we do that with Yahweh. And I go, are you going to pout? She went, no. Okay. Because if you miss, you don't see, it's not his fault, it's our fault, but he'll get you another one. And I go, wouldn't you want to go hunting with somebody like that? And the neat thing was, she missed her buck, and then she told her dad her testimony. I never talked to her. I don't think Izzy's going to be seeing this. I hope he does. The next day, she missed it, and she told her dad, don't worry, Dad, we'll get him next time. Yeah. And Izzy was so proud of that, and I went, that was Yahweh working through me through another person. Are you going to pout if you don't get what you want? That's a good question.
Yeah, I do.
Well, then you go, then you confront it. You're going to go, I'm not going to pout. What's the worst case scenario? Here's the levers. We die here, we die there. If it doesn't work, okay. If I don't get my wife, okay. What, are you going to die here? No, I've been single. And plus, it's pretty easy being single, right? I can walk around in my underwear. Nobody tells me what to do. Okay. Now you're preparing yourself to walk out in faith. And to be aiming. So in our life, in certain directions and areas, and Yahweh, you know what? Yahweh wasn't down with Moses till the very, very end. He's not down with us. Yeah. You know, dad and mom are far above me, but you guys are still infants to him. What directions is he wanting to call you? The next level. He's perfect. We think we're perfect. We think we have higher standards. He's going, man, there's always more. And I guarantee it will always be worth it. Just trust me, it'll be worth it. Get something to get you up here. And what could it be? I don't know. I don't know. But use that imagination to go, what would really, really reward that? So what are you aiming at? If you're not aiming at that, you're going to say this life's going to be over, and you're going to have a C-rated life, possibly. Or you aim for A's, or 100%. You see, Proverbs 29, verse 18, page 633. Proverbs 29. Melania, will you read that for me?
Lovers.
18.
Where there is no vision, a people is let loose, but he that keepeth instruction, how happy he is.
That's good. Where there is no vision, a people is let loose. You know, that really makes me think of when Moses went up to the mountain for 40 days during their probation. What happened to those people? Aaron gave them the reins. How did they act?
Crazy.
Were they thinking about a resurrection?
Nope. Thinking about themselves.
Or whatever it was. Justification, they had no vision. If we don't have vision, then our minds and stuff's going to be let loose, and we're just going to have a very mediocre life. One day we're going to go to Christ, we're going to kneel before him, and he's going to go, man, how'd you grade off in this area? How'd you do in this area? How'd you do in this area? And every once in a while, we're going to get to do something extraordinary. And it's going to be worth it, guys. Whether people understand it whether it's a post on Facebook, you don't get one single like. If you're obedient, you're obedient. The point is obedience. He will reward you. And the rewards in this life, which gets us moving, is nothing compared to the resurrection. If you're not envisioning going before Christ, well, then we're let loose. If you're not envisioning the loss that we're going to suffer when we go before Christ, when we messed up, you're let loose.
Yeah.
Christ was able to endure the death of the cross for the glory that was set before him, and that helped him focus so he wasn't let loose. Control your and control things. And you see people that are living in a bad spot, and you go, whenever you're ready to get delivered, I'm going to help you with this thing. Now, that this obviously doesn't apply to people that are wicked, with the lust of the flesh, is one thing. Some people, they just can't get out of a rut. We got to fix this. Got to fix these things. And I have a ministry for like 10 years now almost of helping single people going, you're not thinking of a spouse that's worth being pure. And I go, your future father-in-law is watching what you're doing with your body right now. Hey, wait a minute. Is he? I go, how do you treat all these Christian girls you're dating right now? These are Jesus Christ's little sisters. So if you treat one bad, you think you're going to get an upgrade? And then one guy goes, what's that supposed to mean? I said, I have four sisters. Let's just say I had two righteous ones and two that weren't righteous. And if I knew you were treating one like that and cheating on her, and then you came to me for an endorsement for a better one, you know what I would do to you? The guy goes, you'd beat me up. I would beat you up, not literally. I got to go. And then what I was trying to do is help them with their vision. What would make it worth your while? How many single people are on the planet? This would be great for Ryan. How many single Christian women are on this planet right now? Think about it. This way, Yahweh gave me a kick in the pants because I was moping around because I was abandoned. I'm just never going to get. Oh, you'll give me somebody, but nobody like that. Here I was, and Yahweh kicked me right in the butt. He goes, what's your problem? And then I didn't even know what my problem was. And I was like, well, I'll get married sooner or later. But I don't need physical needs. Because the physical needs is this and that. I just need spiritual needs. And I was saying it, and he just... Aaron, what are you attracted to? Well, I don't know if that's appropriate. And then he just got me started. Tell me what you're attracted to. Well, I like this. I like... This is a long conversation. It took a long time. I like petite, feisty, firecracker girls that remind me of my mom. That's what I'm attracted to. Okay, and that's your physical, right? All right. I want a woman that's like my dad when it comes to the word, faithful and this and that. And so, what's the problem? I don't exist. I've been looking for a unicorn. I kind of had one, and she went crazy. Took off. Anyway, how many women are on this planet, Aaron? And he rebuked me. And I said, I don't know. He goes, you better give me an answer now. And this is like a boom. I said, 8 billion. How many people? How many of those are women? I said, I don't know. He went, boom, give me a number. Half of them, 4 billion. Out of the 4 billion, how many are Christian? Oh boy, I know he's going to do this again. I went, 300 million. 300 million. Okay, so out of the 300 million, how many are single? 150 million. And out of the 150 million, you're telling me I can't find you one little hottie firecracker, petite girl, that's like your mom and your dad? Is that what you're telling me? I started laughing. Here I was, and still I had snot and tears in the carpet from feeling sorry for myself. I started laughing, and you know what I immediately saw a vision of me standing in front of 100,000 Miss American pageant women, and I had to pick one. Oh, how can I do this? It was a meeting, just like that. Because your problem's in your brain, Aaron Cunningham. I'm not limited. I'm not slack. My hand is not short. But you're stinking thinking, screwing things up. I was forgetting that I had a roommate in my life, and I was moping. And I'd go around my mom and my dad and my family, and I was up in Chipper, but I went around there, I was moping, I was forgetting about my roommates, going, dude, you're bumming me out. Now I go to people, go, fix your thinking. He's got Christians everywhere, and every time you do a righteous thing, he will witness to that woman in New Zealand or South Africa or Germany. This is stuff Ryan's got to hear. You got to go, get that vision. Will it be worth it? And you imagine that. And if it was for that person, would you do it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you get those things moving. And whatever that is, whatever your need is, Melania's got a clean bill of health. Would you do it? Yeah. With the vision. Harriet Tubman. Oh, let me see. Before I go into that, what is the most prosperous nation in the world? United States of America. What is the most Christian country in the world? The United States of America. What country gives more money than any other country in the world? The United States of America. It's not perfect, but it's the best when it comes to those standards. Pretty important right now, right? Would you say we're the light of the world, especially with President Trump? I mean, now there's other lights, obviously, but you're going to say when it comes to mass, this is it. Pretty important, right?
Right.
If the United States, what if the United States evaporated all at once? What would happen to this world? I feel sorry for the rest of Christians, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Here's something I want you to think about. The United States of America would not be here if Christopher Columbus was not aiming at India. Christopher Columbus was aiming for India, not a new world. You get to read some of his biography, and it is neat getting to read some. And I was going to pull it out. Here it was, and he's learning these things, and the Muslims had hijacked all the spice trade, and here's this and that. And he starts learning about the Atlantic currents. And then he goes, I believe it's like 2,500 miles to China. And then the people came back, the mathematicians or whoever, I'm not sure they were, and they go, that's ridiculous, 25,000 miles is the circumference of the world. And they start explaining it. Guess who was right? Not Christopher Columbus. The people that said it was 25,000 miles, what's the circumference of the earth? 25,000. They were right. But did that get rid of his desire to go to India?
No.
No. And even when he went to the Queen of Spain, and he says, I got a route, we're going to do this and this and that, they're like, this is ridiculous, because here's all our... But guess what happened? They put him on a retainer. I don't even know what that necessarily means. I know what it means in today's. He planted some sort of seed. Until finally they go, okay, you got three ships. Go. We wouldn't be here, and Christopher Columbus never got to see India. But I believe, it's my speculation, that Yahweh was stirring something to get somebody to go. It was not the 25,000. I bet you even in Christopher Columbus's mind, when they kept coming with the 25,000, no, it's impossible. It's got to be 2,500. I bet you he just knew he had, and what it was, he had to get going just like Harriet Tubman. What new worlds are you going to discover in this world? If you just get going. It doesn't have to make sense. It's supposed to make faith. Harriet Tubman saved 70 people. In this movie, we learn later on, she's the first woman, one of the first women to ever lead our military into battle. Did you know she did that in the Civil War? I did not know that. I was not taught that. Not only did she do that, she led 150 black American Union soldiers into battle and delivered 750 slaves. 820 slaves were delivered because she had to go back and get her husband. Harriet Tubman had a suit made for her husband. Did he ever wear it? No. But making that suit was a faith. It took faith, and that faith helped her. We need to start thinking about the suits that we need to make to get us moving and get going. 800, that's why I think when somebody says 820 people, I'm like, that's right around apostle. I'm like, holy moly, that's talking about mighty works. A 5-foot woman that couldn't read, leading men. Women's suffrage wasn't until 1920, right? So you get peaceful. Is a God of peace, not a confusion. Separate yourself. Get confirmation. Wisdom. You have to ask for it. If you're not asking for it, don't expect it. I was telling Isaiah that. I think I was talking to Izzy, and he goes, well, I don't want my kids asking you to come to the games because you just show up. And I go, you have not because you ask not. I talked to Isaiah. I understand what your dad says, but the scripture says you have not because you ask not. Be seeking, be asking, be knocking. Ask for wisdom. If you're not asking for it, start asking for it. They get confirmation in the directions. And you know what will happen when you start using that imagination, imagining India? Can you imagine Yahweh working inside Christopher Columbus? Imagining the spices?
Yeah.
Could you think, you ever thought Christopher Columbus imagine himself setting foot on the Indian shore, seeing the Indians. Here's the spices. Absolutely can imagine it. I was actually the whole thing with Christopher Columbus. I went to go in my backyard to go meditate. Didn't have time to do it. Didn't want to do it, but I did it, and it was neat because Yahweh makes it profitable. As I sat there, I looked at the moon, I looked at the stars, and Yahweh gave me that revelation. He said, "Aaron, how many times do you think Christopher Columbus envisioned seeing India? Do you think he ever thought about getting off the boat?" Golly, heck yeah. You know what else I believe? When he started that, I bet you that Christopher Columbus was probably working through all the people inside of the Queen's Court. We got to consider this. Why? I don't know. But we got to do it. And then get your target, find your target, then remind yourself it's going to be better than that. And then come in and say, "Okay, I'm ready to be a Harriet Tubman. And if I don't get my target, I'm not going to pout." Are you going to pout? No. Okay, what's the best case? What's the worst case scenario? And get this thing moving. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the movie of Harriet Tubman that inspired me. I hope it inspired people that got to listen. And we thank you for these words. Do not be fearful. Actually, shrink back and withdraw from fear. You've seen people in your life shrink back and withdraw from light. Don't shrink back like that from those people. But when it comes to fear, shrink back. Actually, I can see it. There's people in this room that are listening that it hurts your feelings when people shrink back because you shine light. And it hurts. You keep shining, but you don't shrink back because of fear. Pull yourself back. Get peaceful. And as you get peaceful, I'll confirm the direction we're going to go. And I have a big checkbook. I can pay the bills. Amen. That's it. Mm-hmm.